hello, my darlings, and welcome back to another exciting adventure right here on Radio Wasteland. Our guest tonight is Samuel Hoffman. That's Hoffman with one F. I want to say that's the Dutch, not the German, if I remember correctly. And Samuel Hoffman is the foremost expert, at least on our show, about Nibiru. How are you doing today, Samuel?
I am doing well, and it's beautiful and 61 degrees in Montana this afternoon. And, you know, the birds are out chirping, and the rest of the country is experiencing the rather unusual Colorado through Kansas, through Alabama storms and drawn-out tornadoes. And then it hits the East Coast tomorrow, and it's going to be really nasty with these longer storms. So we're better off than those guys over there.
And you were saying that we're at the start of a 180-day cycle again.
Right. March, middle of March, you know, the March Madness, here we go again. The planet Attu and her moon are coming in for a crossing pass again, and they're matching all the cyclic behavior that we've seen over the last, you know, 8 or so years since the patterns have gone from right to left. Prior to that, they were in a spiral pattern, but then they were much smaller and easier to track. But now they're so massive over the top of us, and in the close passes, the asteroids and the major ones and the debris fields underneath each of the individual planets is also coming in for these close passes. Now they're starting to illuminate in all of the sightings all over the place. And they're also dragging up some really nasty electrical storms, and as you can see, quite a few tornadoes and eddies and mass weather and changes and all sorts of cyclonic behavior around the planet. It's some really cool stuff. And it's a cross-planet facial crossing, and it really seriously does affect our weather. And if people around the area of effect of these storms, now a lot of these storms are coming in, and everyone who lives under the region is completely engulfed in clouds, so it's really hard for them to get the sightings. But if you look in that direction, if you know that there is an occurrence of this storm-type procedure that's going on, and you get sightings, you'll notice that there's this big, huge, massive core cloud, and it's green, and it's pretty much crossing over the top of most of these extreme weather patterns around the world. And it's quite an awesome sight when you start cross-referencing and checking the passings of Nepesity and Attu's moon and all the other planets. Over the years, it's been so cyclic that we've been able to actually determine that, we do know what we're talking about. And it's a phenomenal existence, and it's completely documented around the world time after time, and we're getting some great stuff in from Budapest and Petty's out there, and we're getting some great stuff from England and Planet X Hunter and Andy, and we're getting some great stuff from the East Coast and the Midwest and around the world, and Scotland, Ireland, all over, Malaysia, you name it. And all of this information is matching, and so we're directly on top of the information, and we are not wrong because we've been doing this. We're going on our 12th year now. And if you can't see the passing planets, well, then you're not looking hard enough or long enough. And you can see them in the morning, you can see them in the midday, and you can see them in the evening, and they're all around us. Now, we have not been in this planetary pattern since the onset of the crossing event, because Nibiru means the planet of crossing. We are now in the middle of them and underneath them. They're starting to pass us like a year or two ago, where they went briefly past us and then back into their little arched oval of the daily view. And now they're actually physically going around us and past us, where we're getting nighttime views again. And then the electrical storms that are coming directly off the object cluster groups, which are the larger asteroid belts, which are electrically attached to these planets. Now, they go by daily. We see them on a constant basis. They do not fall into Earth. There is particles and stuff and junk and smaller debris that is falling off them, which is why we've got such an increased amount of meteoroid and asteroid activity. And don't listen to everything they're pumping out that NASA and those guys say, because it's a lot of distractions and half-truths and misnomers. And we've been producing enough information that it's absolutely documented in itself. And I was kind of hoping that you'd taken some of the opportunity to look at some of the information that we sent your direction today.
Yeah, I have.
And
I have.
Got an understanding of what's going on, and I'll be glad to coach you off the side if you want some extra time. Then I sent you a really nice link to Nibiru Followers Anonymous from YouTube, so it's on your private message. And anybody out there listening, Rebecca is doing a phenomenal job, and I suggest you go to her YouTube page, Nibiru Followers Anonymous. She's got countless videos of some really grand work at collecting all the stuff that we at Montana Skywatchers have collected, and she's really gotten a handle on it. And then she started up her own page, and she's been very wonderful at it, and I can never thank her enough.
And I did get caught up in one of her videos I was watching earlier today, and it was talking about wisps of clouds actually being debris that was coming through our atmosphere, and I found it pretty interesting.
Well, we've been. It depends on which direction you look on the sun in these sightings. Now, on the left hand side of the sun is where the gas giants are, and currently, and the Uri is just massive, filling up literally the entire left hand side of the sky. And then Attu is a smaller gas giant with her white moon, and then you've got the object cluster groups and lead asteroid and the blue asteroid and the red asteroid and the green asteroid. And we've been documenting those for over 8 years. And now they have become so large and so regular that we even know where they are pretty much most of the time. And they figure into the monthly drawings now, and because of the sightings being numerous enough that we are allowed to discuss them as proven fact and topic and everything, because that's what we try to do, is stick with empirical science. And only when we have actual sightings do they become fully topic. We don't discuss a bunch of crazy stuff that somebody thought they saw, you know, whatever. But the Skull asteroid is also being sighted right now, and it is real. It's a NASA release, but NASA lied about its location and its orbit track. So you have to discount the fact that what they're telling you is where, and take into account the fact they're admitting it because they're trying to get credit for stuff and more funding, of course, but they're not going to tell us the whole truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here I'm looking at, as we're talking about this, you had mentioned that the planets were on the left-hand side of the sun, and I'm looking at a photo that you shared with me that, you know, the exposure's been rocked just a little bit to define stuff, and it's got what appears to be a large blue mass covering part of the sun, and then a white dot that is, I'm assuming, a moon.
The asteroids are crossing in front of the sun again.
Yeah, some belt there. Yeah.
From last week, yeah, and they're angled. And it's really funny how the sky behaves, because it's literally like we watch almost like a scroll, like a piano roll scroll, and yet they're going in opposite directions toward the center, toward each other, toward the sun. They're rolling in toward the sun, and you've got the planetary movements on the one side, and you've got the planetary movements on the right-hand side, and they're both sort of spiraling in toward us. And it is so weird, because we're in the middle of them rotating as we rotate around to one direction. They're rotating around to the other direction, and they're so close and so huge now. They're intense sky fillers.
Yeah,
and
you know, this might be a good time to possibly address this. You know, in dealing with these fringe topics, you know, for lack of a better word, let's call them fringe topics that you and I both dig into. We get a lot of people that are on both sides of political persuasion, and while they may be at odds with one another, we get a lot of these people. But it seems that both sides have had just about enough of media sensationalism. You know, a prime example is is hurricanes. Don't get me wrong, they hurt a lot of people, help people in the hurricane. But the news will, like, report on a hurricane that's coming in, and it's a Category 4, and it'll be all over the place. But then it'll get downsized to a Category 1, but they'll still keep it all over the place and still talk about it in the same way with this sensationalism. So with all this discussion of weather, you know, I think we should probably outright answer people that, is this 180-day cycle, are these things moving through our atmosphere, other than preparing for possibly bad weather, is there much to fear there?
The storm, the first time I saw it go by was probably about 2018, and it went over the top of Montana at an angle from the southwest to the northeast, and it came over the top of us, and we had extremely weird southerly winds that we don't normally, they happen, but not this way, and there was a lightning storm that I have never seen. Did you ever see the movie Red Sonja?
Oh, yeah, more than once.
And the effects of the talisman,
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
This is what this storm looks like when it comes in. And this is the object cluster group and partially parts of the smaller object cluster group, which when Uri comes in, then it really magnifies. It's, I mean, then it's just unbelievable. And we're going to see a Uri, close Uri pass here really soon. So this summer, we are going to see lightning storms we've never seen in our lives. There's going to be severe winds, and there's going to be repeated extreme, very massively large bolts of lightning, and you're going to hear thunder echoes that you've never heard in your life because they're coming literally from space. And it's going to echo, and it's going to discharge. And planets. See, the planets do not collide. They repel each other. When they get too close, then they shove each other away electrically because they carry a different static charge. I believe it's actually opposite.
So it's not unlike the crack of thunder.
Oh, it's going to be, we're going to, you know, and
I mean, the scientific thing causing the sound is not unlike the crack of thunder.
Oh, it's unbelievable. You remember last year's Ohio storm where all the crops got flattened?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Okay, we're going to see more of those events, but they're going to be worse this year.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge.
John Adams said, quote, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people." As more Americans are identifying as atheists or no religious affiliation, it is not surprising that our morals and religious restraints have eroded from our founding Judeo-Christian principles.
Learn more about our ministry and get exclusive email updates by registering for The Legal Insider at pji.org.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland. So I'm guessing that people need to just be prepared and worried about weather, but they don't need to be shooting each other in the streets or anything.
I'm not going to scream doom and gloom, but I'm going to say if you're not ready now, you should get ready now just in case now drags on for a little bit longer. But I'm still shopping and still piling up my, you know, I'm going to start looking for old-fashioned tools and that sort of thing and, you know, add to the pile a little bit here because, you know, at any point in time, depending on your area, we could see, we're going to see extremes that we've never seen.
Oh, and I guess with all this talk of electricity, you know, a electromagnetic pulse is not out of the question.
Yeah, well, we could have a planetary discharge that would probably do a limited area like that. Yeah. There's all kinds of possible, and there's also the ion bleeding off. When we have a larger planet closer to a smaller planet, the larger planet will actually rob some of the ions out of the body. They'll just pull it away. And that, I think, is why people are feeling very uncomfortable and having mass headaches and chest palpitations and heart attacks and nausea and body aches. And I think there's so much more electricity going through us than normal in some of these close event passes. And lunacy, and now Attu's moon is, of course, going to come across to us again. So we're going to go through the lunacy effect times three again, which is, you know, irritabilities, discomfort. People with bipolar disorder will think a little less clear than they normal. Heck, normal people are going to think less clear than they normal. We could almost even call it like a Tower of Babel syndrome, where people are going to be confused.
Great. So it's like the werewolf full moon times 1,000.
Yeah, we're going to see some, you know, and I see pretty regularly every day just about someone talking about how they're going to the hospital because they're having these chest pains and their heart palpitations and they don't know what's going on and then, you know, then it gets better and then it comes back and that in itself is happening to me as well. I've had headaches and all sorts of weird stuff that I haven't had for a very long time. Now all of a sudden, wham, where'd this come from?
Mm.
So we're going to see, you know, some body changes and some different, watch the animals as usual. They will point things out that, you know, when the dogs are barking in your neighborhood, go outside and look up because there's probably a big planet passing over, if not a group of asteroids. And they are massively visible. This week is some of the largest lead asteroid of the object cluster group pictures that we've ever seen. So we're in new territory, you know. We're not in Kansas anymore. We are now in the middle of these guys, and they're circling and spiraling us past us and over our heads and beyond us and being illuminated at night. So we're going to see, you know, the open core of Nepesity, and we're going to see the purple colors of Attu, and we're going to see the bright white illumination of Attu's moon after sunset, and you'll see the bottom of these planets will be illuminated far longer after sunset, and you'll be wondering, like, why is the sky still so light? It's because there's a massive planet above us, and we're seeing the refractive light off the bottom of the planet.
Okay, so, Samuel, I don't know if you know this, but I think I've told you this. You are, when it comes to us uploading our program to YouTube, you are, by and large, our most successful videos on YouTube. They are at the top of our list.
I hate to interrupt you, but did I win the free Sasquatch?
As soon as somebody catches one, we're bringing it in. But, you know, what all these videos...
Yeah, I apologize.
No, it's fine. What all these videos does is it brings in more comments than the other ones. So Andrea was nice enough to collect a few comments here, and I was hoping to have you address them. None of them are, you know, mean or aggressive or anything, but...
I can take those on, too.
Right, yeah, but it's not good radio. Okay, so, friend, and if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you and get your feedback. Some are comments, some are questions.
Absolutely, go right ahead.
Friendly Advice asked, or stated, the man that discovered Nibiru named it Herculobus.
Yeah, Herculobus. Nobody can even say that. Hercubus, yeah.
Hercules, okay. Nibiru is one of its moons. His name was Carlos F. Munoz, the same man that they changed how the naming of new objects in space was given. Look into him, smiley winky face.
How old and when was this man living?
I have no idea. I was just wondering if you'd heard of this guy or if that guy pulling this from something else.
The names come from the Sitchin translations.
Mm-hmm.
The names come from many other texts as well. And when usually I'm handed human information, I have a tendency to sort of kind of chuckle and go, okay, well, that's your version of it.
Right.
And when did you, you know, and then you check the origin date. And if you go back to the clay tablets from Sitchin, that predates just about everybody. And so a lot of the information that we are unfortunately being handed left and right all over the internet is miscued, legendary changed, manipulated, lost track of, and in most cases, human opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And that is almost an impossible answer to answer, or question to answer, excuse me. The names and the connections of our information mostly comes from off-world that I recognized and compared, and it has, over these 12 years, turned out to be exactly correct. We have not found any flaws in the information that we have.
Yeah, and the human information that we have from this is literally right on the cusp of recorded history, so it's probably few and far between.
Now, if this information came out in the 70s, I would be inclined to give it a level of credibility. Now, if it came out in the 80s and 90s, I would be a little more skeptical.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't blame you there. That applies to a whole lot of topics.
This is true because we, unfortunately, and I'm amazed by the availability of information on the Internet, but we've also got to take into account a media literacy about where did this information come from. Is the source credible? Has it been skewed through A, religion, or B, legend, or C, skepticism, hype, whatever, back and forth. And then, of course, you've got your pros and cons for each of these. Because I just recently went to YouTube looking for Texas Cube information. I typed in Texas Cube, and I saw more disinfo and people debunking it rather than the information that we know that we've already published. So I was a little miffed at that. So
plus through the 80s and 90s, advertising, be it for good or bad purposes, through the 80s or 90s, that's when it really became a science, where before it was an art form. Through the 80s and 90s, people are learned to manipulate our emotions a lot better with their advertising and so on and so forth. So I got another question for you. James Madison, he says the sky is milky white because of chemtrails. Not much of a question, but I will put that out to you. Is there a confusion between chemtrails and this? Are chemtrails even a thing? Is there a confusion there?
It gets mixed because, especially with the fact that if you're looking for chemtrails, that's what you're going to see, and you're not going to be looking beyond that. And you're going to go, oh, okay, this is what happened, and then they spread out. Chemtrails only spread out so far, and usually when they are chemming, it's right because they're trying to hide something that's just about to happen right in front of your face. So they're going to try and add a cross pattern or something so that the eye doesn't grasp on to the actual shape of the object. Now, there is a lot of space clouds going on up there that you've got to learn about. Take the time. It's Understanding the Skies, Edition 1, Samuel Hoffman. It's on YouTube. Watch that. You'll start to see there are definite atmosphere behavior patterns to each of the passing planets, which has helped us also locate and identify and watch them over the years. And we've learned all of this information. I mean, there's volumes and volumes and volumes of stuff that we've learned just by watching them. Yes. Now, and then also you have to take into account where do these people live? If they're sitting at sea level, then they're probably getting the crap chemmed out of them because you're living in a more populated area, and yes, they spend more time chemming over the top of populated zones. They don't just go straight across the country. They usually just spray over the regions of the major metropolis areas, so the majority of people cannot see it. Now, the empty cities, the little small towns, they don't get chemmed over very often, and this is where we get a lot of our reports from the little guys all over the world. And they're not staring, and we don't even basically discuss chemtrails anymore on my site at Montana Skywatchers 1 or 2. We just say, look, this is a topic we don't want to, we moved on beyond it. And if you can't tell the difference between chemtrails and the ions, split-tailed Isatim or the drag off cloud between Attu and Uri, then you need to do a little more time in research. And you have to be discerning and not be, you know, blocked by the chemtrails and stop thinking beyond, or start thinking beyond that. Remember, these are sky pillars and they do drag on space clouds between each other.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time. You get me every time.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Moroville was an early gold mining settlement established in 1849 beside French Gulch Creek, approximately 1.5 miles west of French Gulch. It was named for H.W. Morrow, who owned a ranch on the creek. Soon the miners were finding too much gold and moved the settlement eastward beside Clear Creek in 1854 because mining was being carried out on the streets and under the houses. A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. To find out more about Dottie Smith, go to the Shasta Historical Society.
Aloha. This is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
So your clear answer would probably be that chemtrails' main motivation is to distract from what's really going on and not so much the chemicals.
Well, there's also the other twist to it. It's a dual sword here. The chemtrails are also blocking in the extra incoming light because we have a second sun, and that second sun is frying the crap out of all the lesser countries and or creating more extreme weather, flooding, and stuff like the chemtrails actually sort of protect us from getting fried.
Oh.
Because they're blocking a whole lot of extra sun that's coming in. And all you got to do is look at the meters. The UV index is 73% above normal. And how do you explain that? Well, you can't say it's ozone because our ozone layer is actually getting better in a lot of ways. And so, you know, and everybody says, well, maybe it's just, you know, an anomaly. No, that's because there's an extra big, huge, bright thing out there putting out that extra, you know, sunlight.
Right.
And you know, there's just so many fingers pointing to that could be the only solution. And it's basically obvious, but nobody wants to reach there because that's against everything they know, you know, and that's messing with their science.
Okay, this next one is mostly just a compliment to you and a motivation. Julia XOXO, Sam, you cannot spoon feed. You don't get paid, so F them. Let them do their own research. The lazy ones are imbeciles that want everything for free. Love you lots. 2 exclamation points.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I've learned over the last 12 years, and like in April we're coming up on our 12th year, and I have learned to get a little thicker skin, and because, you know, and I regularly tell myself, I'm crazy. This is nuts. This can't possibly be happening. And then I turn my computer on, and there's, you know, another 150 pictures proving that it's real. So every day I'm bending one way and bending the other and going, you know, and this is why I try to make sure that I prove it. You know, I'm not trying to throw in hype, supposition, or guessing. And if I don't know, then I say so. But if we have an example from the last 5 years going back, and then this is where I collect all of these photos from everywhere, and we have match after match after match. And then anyone who's followed me knows that my drawings are so accurate that it's almost spooky.
Yeah.
So, and to make short, concise answer, hopefully.
Right. You know, people out there, you probably remember, but people out there may not remember how we actually got to know one another was I had done another show on Nibiru, and your loyal, impressively loyal following basically reached out to us and told us that we were full of it and that we needed to talk to you. And so that's how I reached out and talked to you. So you do have an impressively loyal following. That is for
that
sure.
That was show number 13 for you.
Oh, I wonder if there's a message in there somewhere.
Well, yeah. But what I keep reposting that all the time because, you know, you want to get your shows up and want to get your views up. And
well, it's
and
working.
I keep reposting your YouTube stuff and your Facebook site every once in a while to people, and I'm trying to pass on the aid you've already given me. So, because, I mean, you know, it's like restaurant workers taking care of restaurant workers, you know. We got to stick together.
Yep, got to keep the knowledge and the fun rolling. Okay.
I was actually watching some of your other shows the other day, and that's when I noticed that the Sasquatch one was out, had more views than me, and I was going, uh-oh, wait a minute. Somebody's going to win my free Sasquatch. I don't want that.
Well, we've done
you
got to add them all up. We've done 2 Sasquatch shows in the 3 years that we've been doing this, and we've done a whole lot more of this.
All right, great. Well, you know, this is just outrageous that this is happening and nobody has seen it. And not only that, we got to discuss the Texas Cube and the Long Box Cube and all the triangle crap that everybody's seeing every day for the last month and a half. I've had nonstop sightings.
Okay. Let's finish up these two.
Go ahead. That's right. Great. Go ahead.
I just have two more. This one is very much off topic, so I'm guessing that you're going to say I don't know. But the Road said, "Does blood type play a role as to who has those awakened happenings? I swear I've known things weren't as they appeared since birth."
Oddly, I'm going to tell you yes. I know about this.
Oh.
Yes, that's an absolute. There is a plan, and I was also told this by the Pleiadian. And this was face-to-face conversation for those of you who don't know me. This guy's 7 foot tall, got a really weirdly shaped back of his head, all this, wearing white robes, little gray guys running all over the place. Abduction scenario. Anyway, face-to-face. There is a long-involved plan that the binary solar system overlords, the demigods, our designers, our overbosses, have been suggested by their bosses, the people of higher other races around them, that we should be allowed to evolve up into the Federation and becoming normal humans, being parts because we're interesting to the Pleiadians and other groups, blah, blah, blah. So, yes, there is a blood type plan that has been introduced long ago that is now after many generations to us, or one or two to them. It's a short time to them. Many generations to us is in plan. And this is why some of these people see these things And some of these people absolutely will not.
Hmm. What do we know what the blood type is?
Yes. It has to do with the Rh, and it has to do with whether or not you're linked to blood type O.
I see. Okay.
And everybody can go out and research that and figure out, and that has to do with the indigo populace and the rocket scientists and where IQs come from and special other gifts and all sorts of other really cool things.
All right. And then here's the last one from Sherry Harbeck. Harbeck, H-R-A-B-E-C. I wonder, too, if the chlorobrin could give us a timeline on how long the planets could be around. Between the surviving Egyptians and the Celtic monks who wrote on same thing years and years later, second half of the chlorobrin. Okay, that was a whole lot of...
Chlorobrin Bible.
Okay, that's a whole lot of words I don't know. What's the chlorobrin?
Oh, God. Geez. It is a... it is a text of... The Secret. It is a series of truths wrapped in legend and mysticism.
I see. About, so its own type of Bible.
It talks about the other planets, and it talks about some of their behaviors and some of the processes, and it wraps it in a of the times descriptive lore that would suit those people of their temperament of that time. It's like a group of coded, you could almost say Nostradamus quatrains.
I see.
They're telling you facts, but they're twisting it in metaphors and other things. But the chlorobrin Bible is also part of the messenger scenario of the Hierophant, the secret wisdoms of the Ashkenazi Jews, all the way through the Templar Knight secrets.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to look into that one. Okay, well, that's the end of our questions, and you had said at one point that we need to talk about the Texas Cube and the pyramid or triangular-shaped craft. Let's talk about the Texas Cube. This is something that we've talked about before, and, you know, I think with Cube and it being intelligence made, we automatically assume that it's a craft, but you would think that it would have left. So is this some kind of installment? And what new are we seeing with that?
Well, this thing is so big. And I have visually, in April 2019, I sat and watched it for about 2 hours, along with hundreds of huge star destroyers beside it that looked like grains of sand next to this darn craft. It's so big you wouldn't believe. We've been watching it since deep space all the way back in 2009 off of Google Space, and then Google Space went into blackout into 2010, literally all the way to, I can't even remember, like 2012. After that I stopped even looking. But we got some captures of it, and then we thought it was an anomaly, and then we started, and then all of a sudden in 2015 it popped up out through a wormhole over the top of Texas. And we talked about that in other shows, it being a collider, meaning the seventh marker and all of that, a location marker for it to arrive from. And this is an extragalactic ship from one of the factions of the Federation, and pretty much the charging bosses. Now, the Empire Orb got here early, before the planets did, and it started, you know, flying around and doing all of, you know, its studies and changing. And we saw that, too, as well, and we watched it live in Montana Skywatchers 4 years prior to the Texas Cube getting here. But the Cube has got all the multitude of fleet craft that were either parked inside or flew along with it or came through the wormhole afterwards or whatever. We don't have full documentation of that. But we're getting absolute sightings of this every day over Europe, and it is a massive, massive ship.
Well, I just got back here. Round in that turn and back, there's another man. Well, he just went down, baby, he's coming home. Even though he chose it before, he won't want to be alone. We all change, but not so much.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect vision. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Turtle Bay Exploration Park is back open for exploration. See the West Coast Biennial Art Exhibition featuring diverse pieces by artists up and down the West Coast. Enjoy the Visible River Aquarium, Caverns Exhibits, Parrot Playhouse, and more. There's something for everyone to discover at Turtle Bay.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us. You know, here's something that's always sort of confused me with this. And I don't know if it's because I'm sort of merging multiple people's thoughts on Nibiru or if I'm just not grasping it, but they say Nibiru's in a 3,600-year orbit, loosely. But we're binary, so that means that the other sun is in a 3,600-year binary orbit with our sun.
Connected to something else.
Yet it's all been here for 3 years. Does that mean that it's just going very slow and that there are large chunks of our history where there's nothing there?
Well, it's been in proximity with us for since 2009, 2010, 2011 when it came up underneath us in the group. And what happened was is our two stars are attached to a larger body. There is a massive, 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 massive gas giant that is known as Imaru or / Hercubus to someone, to some people. And that gas giant is an electron cluster that holds the two atoms and the eight planets on either. Now, we go behind this and separate between the two of each other, so we can't see them. Because of this massive, 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 massive gas giant. So when we conjoin, or I believe at some point travel to the same eddy location through positive a negative discharge of a capacitor or actual travel speed through the northern and southern planes of the galactic pole, therefore shoving the guiding, dragging bodies behind compared to that massive gas giant that our stars and solar system would be like, you know, a tail on a kite. And then because we follow in a static spiral behind our star, we would therefore follow in a static spiral behind that gas giant as well as we travel through the galactic plane up into the northern hemisphere of our galaxy, which is what's happening right now.
So are we both in an orbit around the massive gas giant? It's just their orbit takes 3,600 years, so maybe they pass over us more often?
No, I think what it is the static charge between the two bodies. Now, I've always viewed that their solars, we don't mix. Our planets don't get yanked out by one of the larger bodies of the Imaru or Nibiru system because they're pole value is like maybe negative on the North Pole and positive on the South Pole, where ours is positive on the North Pole and negative. You follow me?
Yes. Yeah, I'm following that.
We don't steal their bodies. They don't steal ours. But we are attached to the major electron cluster, and we orbit that. And we have a placement. And I believe that when our static charge through space varies in a harmonic that we might actually attract toward each other discharge, because we did see the discharging between the two bodies when the second sun got here in 2011 to 2012. There was massive backblow CMEs, and you can look that up, that occurred when the joining of the two stars. Now, they have not separated as far as we know yet. We're still waiting for, we've seen some evidence of some things that could have been closely called, but most of that is just the asteroids going in front of the star.
So it's not so much the idea that used to be with Nibiru where the planet was sort of flung out in a elliptical that just went way out there and then came back in and passed around us and went way out there. It's no longer that level of distances. They're actually closer, passing around a larger object.
That I believe that we may go behind the day that NASA has yet to see or understand or release information to the lower people.
Gotcha. I would love to see a 3D model of this. Do you have any followers that do 3D models? I need that.
Yeah, we've tried to put out quite a few. The hard problem about it is trying to draw a 3D model on a flat piece of 2D paper.
Right.
That's the problem, you know. And I've had other people I wish I'd get some philanthropist that wants to, you know, field a team here so we could put, you know, a computer group together and cross all this information and actually document it better for everyone. But unfortunately, you know, we're still working out of my garage, so to speak. You know, I mean, Orville and Wilbur Wright's shack here, you know, and so, you know, until that changes, this is what I'm stuck with.
We need to get your planets on a stick and a green screen so that we can create it.
I know, and I have yet to be able to find halfway decent styrofoam balls of the right size.
Yeah.
I've been looking.
Huh.
I know, and my problem is then uploading it. I have nothing has uploaded for so long off of Montana's caveman-like fiber optic cable, and I wish to God they'd spend some of the money I keep sending them every month on some new damn cables.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm paying for high speed, and I got caveman, you know? I mean, it's outrageous. I can't upload a video that I make.
Yeah, at the risk of offending the audience and using my French, the infrastructure on just about everything in this country is shit.
Yeah, corporations have been taking all the money and, you know, and then not reinstalling new stuff in any way. And then they sell the company to somebody else and hand them a problem, all because that was written in that they could. And I don't think you should be able to sell a failing company. I think you should, like, have to take it in the shorts and fix shit before you leave.
Yeah, I mean, look at the fires in California, obviously caused by failing infrastructure.
Look at the Texas electrical system. They've been robbing the system. They were told years ago to upgrade for cold weather, and they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now they're going, oh, it's broken, too. We better go bankrupt.
Yeah, that's where my daughter was. They were out of power and negative degrees for, not negative, but close to it for 3 days.
If you have natural gas, look into a Generac.
Oh, I think,
dollars.
Yeah, she's staying with her friend's family, and I think they're thoroughly prepared. So I don't think it was quite as hard for her as some other people, that's for sure.
I just wish I'd find somebody who wants to hand me $1.5 million, and then I'd start doing shit right, you know, and say, okay, when the crap hits the fan, you guys come up here, I'm ready. But nobody's done that yet, so.
Well, as a warning to the audience, if they give me $1.5 million, I will tell them thank you and probably never speak to anybody again.
I don't get to get away with this. I get visits from people off planet, whether I like it or not. So if I had a halfway decent place to hang out, it might be a better thing.
Totally. You got to entertain.
I've actually had visits. Go ahead.
Oh, I was saying you got to entertain.
I don't like it when they come to visit without pre-announcing themselves. My last visit was rather brutal and icky and bloody.
Yep.
And I wasn't as pleasurable or welcoming host as I could have been, but they weren't really necessarily a welcome guest in the manner that they arrived. Anyway, we'll have that discussion someday and you'll love it. But anyway.
Well, sounds good. But unfortunately, all good things have to come to an end, and that's where we're at. To the audience, you've been listening to Samuel Hoffman here on Radio Wasteland. Samuel, I assume that the best case for them to find out more about you and find your stuff is your YouTube channel. Search up Samuel Hoffman or Montana Skywatchers or your Facebook group, right?
Right. I have not been able to access my YouTube channel and update anything for quite a few years, but there is some really good older information on there. And yes, go to Montana Skywatcher 2. And we have so many people wanting in that we're kind of not adding too many new ones, but I think you can still view the content. But then there is a whole bunch about me on YouTube per se, even on Bing and Google. I now really exist, so just type my name in anywhere on YouTube, Google or Bing, and you'll get some copies of my work, even you know on your televisions. Well, those smart TVs, you can just type my name in.
And as a reminder to the audience, that's Hoffman with one F.
Right. Do I always say that? I'm sure I do.
Well, also, my computer is constantly correcting me, and actually, there was a time Andrea made me pull down a couple of flyers because I had misspelled it a couple times in a row.
Yeah, I've never really taken it personally because it's happened all my life. You know,
yeah, well,
two Fs and...
with a name like Chauncey, I'm used to it as well.
Right, right. Yeah, and I have to also say that it's hard to spell. Every time I still spell your name, I still have trouble with it.
It's that last E, I bet.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one I keep forgetting.
That tends to be the one that throws everybody off.
And then I, you know, hit enter, and then nothing comes up, and it's like, oh, okay. And hopefully you got bombarded by, and I know we're trying to end the show here, but I hope that you got bombarded by people wanting a new show. And
oh, we did. We did,
we'll
absolutely.
Do as many as you'd like, because, you know, if you got nothing to do, call me, and we can just BS, and you can record it. I'm sure everybody love every second of it.
Sounds good. I'm on board. Thanks again for being on.
Trying to call me, and they can't get through, so.
Yep.
Anyway.
Well, thank you for being on. It's always fun, and it was fun this time, too.
Well, thank you for listening, and I really, really appreciate you, what you're doing for me, and us, and them, and us guys, and those guys, and et cetera, et cetera. Yes, awesome. Yeah.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.